Let's go back to Proverbs again. We've been looking, doing a word study out of Proverbs, and I've enjoyed it myself, but it's tough. This week has been as I've studied this one, it's been tough on me, because I believe this was we know what Proverbs was written for. I always like to start it off by looking at that. In chapter 1, verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. That's the reason the book was written. And when you doing a word study of... Did you pass the missions, brother? I didn't see it.
Yes.
Put that down. But doing a word study, we've looked at several words. We've looked at the poor, and we've looked at wisdom itself. Now we're going to look at the word and words. And I've divided it into three categories: the word of man, the words of God, and the words of the woman in Proverbs, which is representing Satan, the mystery of iniquity. That woman, that whore in Revelation, and then that whore in Matthew 13, and that whore in Proverbs is that woman that's blended in a little leaven.
Right.
So in Proverbs, let's just start. And what I'm going to be looking at today is the words of man. And I want us to start in chapter 12 and verse 25. Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. The words of a man. And as we look at these words today that a man's supposed to use, that man of wisdom, that man that has the wisdom of God, those kind words, those good words, they're so important. And we'll see that. But it says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. That should be the intent of our heart, is a good word. Now I want you to look at 14:15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Now, what I've put with this, and this verse shows up twice in Proverbs. Let's start reading up here in verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and in the end of that myrrh is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Now, there's a way that seemeth right to every man, but you better look at it. And how do you look at it? Look at it through wisdom. Right? Look at it through the wisdom of God. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Now, I want you to look at 15:23. We're going to read a lot of scriptures today because it's a word study out of Proverbs. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? A word spoken in due season, a good word, a kind word. That's what should be coming out of our mouth when we're talking to people. We don't have to be the hard shell. We need a soft answer. We'll look at some of the. I'm going to read a lot of scriptures today. We'll go back and talk about some of them. That a word spoken in due season. Then look at 25. Let's see, 15:23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good is it? Now let's look at words fitly spoken. 25:11. A word spoken in due season needs to be fitly spoken. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. A word fitly spoken. I tell you, as I've studied this week, I was really, when I started doing this word study, I was loving the words of God and all that emphasis that's in Proverbs on the words of God. But I got to seeing these words of man and some of the wisdom that we're supposed to use in our mouth, controlling our mouth and what we say. And it hits me hard. All right, let's look at. We're getting into words now. Let's look at 10:19. Drop back to 10:19. Let's start reading in verse 18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth slander is a fool. There's not many people gets called a fool in the Bible. A man that trusts in his own heart's a fool. A man that, when I see that, what I'm seeing here is we're a fool if we're doing it because we're going to answer to God. Not going to get away with it. Okay? In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. See how valuable our words can be? What we say, how important it is. Okay? Let's look at 15:1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Okay. Let's look at 15:26. Are you putting all these together? Soft answer, pleasant. Now we're looking at pleasant words. Some people think a man that uses pleasant words or speaks like that is a wuss, right? A lot of times we judge preachers that way. We'll get up and a man, he'll use soft-spoken, bring out his words and speak the word of God, but if he ain't hard, we don't think he means it. Huh? The words of the Lord are pure words. It's the word that's spoken that's going to do it. I watched this special on Billy Graham this week and listened to him, 95 years old, and put the gospel out as pure as it could be. It's that word that does the job. Amen. We can sit and look and judge that man. And we might find something with me or you or anyone else. And we can sit and judge that man. But I tell you, there's some fruit in that, isn't there? That missionary gave that report this Wednesday night, if you was here. And he followed the line all the way down. And put Billy Graham listening to Mordecai Ham, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
And responding to his message. Then his wife responding to him. Then her dad responding to that, and how it grows. God does things in his way. And God don't make cookies, folks. They're not every one Oreos, black with cream in the middle and just alike. And if that man don't please you, you better start seeing if he's pleasing God. Not you. He don't have to please you. If he's pleasing God with the Word of God, then that's what he's going to answer to. And you know a tree with the fruit it bears. Amen? I'll let it go with that. 15:26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. The words are the, that's the Bible speaking, not me. The words of the pure are pleasant words, spoken at the right time, with thought of wisdom behind them. 16:24. The same word again. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. You want to help a man and heal him? You can get to his bones quicker skinning him, some people think. But that's not what this Bible says. Pleasant words. Look at verse 23. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Then there comes this one again. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now why does he put that behind those two verses, both places? Why? Because there's a way that seems right to us, but that don't make it right. What makes it right is God's word makes it right. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. There's another way that seems right to man. Okay? Look at 17:27. I tell you, this gets tough on me the farther it goes. The farther it went down the book, looking at what man said, the tougher it got on me. Amen. It'd get us all that way, won't it? 17:27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. We think a lot of times of much speaking will appear wise. No, usually that's when we put our foot in our mouth, isn't it? Let's read that again. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. We'll see where he puts God's words out there and spareth his own. Amen? Spareth his word. And a man of understanding is of excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Sir?
Doesn't that sound like it's all the problem in Congress?
Yes. An awful lot of it.
You hear a lot of the fools on TV right here. Not the people that's quiet.
The more they talk, the more you learn.
Yeah, you're right.
Amen. Even a fool when he holdeth his peace. All right. Let's look at 18:4. We start seeing some of the dangers of this mouth. Okay? The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in the judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. We love to tell it, don't we? We love to hear it, and we love to tell it when we're supposed to keep our lips, guard our tongue, and watch these things. And put those verses together. Read these things when you get a chance. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters. That can be good and it can be bad. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. You see what's supposed to come out of us? What Jesus said come out of us? Living water. But it's going to require some wisdom. It requires some salt, doesn't it? And it requires some love, words spoken in love. If you love somebody, you can help them with words. But you got to be careful, okay? Let's look at 18:8, the talebearer. I just read it, but let's look at it again. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. A talebearer can hurt somebody to the innermost part.
Go ahead. You know, in man's, I was in engineering school, the first of mine, the express more being a good listener than did talking all the time.
Yeah.
In other words, too many times we talk and we'll all be listening.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right, brother. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. And you know, they're not quickly healed. I said something this week, and man, it didn't take 5 minutes. It didn't take a minute, a second. I said, how stupid. But there's no gathering it back. When you throw it out there, you're not going to gather it back. It's done its damage. It's like a deep wound that goes down to the uttermost parts. I made this statement many times in here. Two statements that I've made, and we need to think about these statements. Why do we always have to win? And why do we like to see our friends fail? Don't tell me you don't. It's your nature. When something real good happens to a man, I read this in the little insert in the Sunday paper called The Parade, whatever that was, and the headlines on that day. Well, why do we like to see our friends fail? And that hit me like a ton of brick, that statement. We got to get over this old man's nature. And the Word of God does that. Okay? The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters. All right? The talebearer, his words are wounds. And look at 26:22. What time is flying in here? 26:22. I want to start reading in verse 20. You see that talebearer? Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Yeah. If somebody's not telling it, it's going to die. Don't tell it. Why do we like to see our friend fail? Prayer is what needs to be inserted in there. With love.
Yeah.
And thanksgiving. Okay? Where no wood is there, the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. You see that again? That's what when you tell something, that's what it is. It's a wound. And you know what you're doing? You're opening that wound. Let it heal. Let it heal. Hey, this hits. As I studied this week and went deeper into it, into Proverbs, the more it showed me to control that mouth. Even in my teaching. Try to control that mouth in my teaching. Preach the word. Teach the word. Be instant in season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and what?
Doctrine.
That the man of God may be what? Unto every good work. You can't help a man by wounding him. We think, as independent Baptists, we can do him some good by beating him up.
Yes, sir.
Now, I got a right to teach like this because I'm here. I'm not outside it. I'm in it. You're going to help a man with words of love? That's what the Bible says. Words of love, words of comfort, pleasant words, words that's got salt added to them, savoring something, thinking on it. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the inner parts of the belly. We heard that a while ago, different verse. That appears twice. There's a way that seems right unto man. That appears. A burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. Okay. Let's look at 29:19. Wow. I'm right. Verse 19. A servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not answer. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words, there is more hope of a fool than of him. Those are strong words, aren't they? He that... I was looking for the verse here that goes with it. A man that answers a matter before he heareth it.
Yes, sir.
Is the same. And do we not do that? You know what that's called? It's called a rebuttal instinct. We're not listening to what the other man is saying. We're thinking of what we're going to say. Instead of listening. That's a rebuttal instinct. And our words are as wounds, and we need to do more thinking and praying of what we're going to say when it's come time. Maybe we just don't say anything. These verses just keep jumping out at me right here. And I'm going to go ahead and read them in a minute. But we're looking at these words of man here. And I wrote off to the side several things. Right here was hasty. Not to be hasty in their words. Not to be a talebearer. There is deep waters. And a man that spareth his words. Then the words would be pleasant. A soft answer. Lying lips. A word fitly spoken. In due season. That's another verse. A word fitly spoken in due season. Sometimes it's just a time to listen and not say anything. But the season will be right. if you've ever worked on a job and witnessed to people, you know there's sometimes you just can't say anything. But that season will come. And you'll have that opportunity if you control your lips. And don't get to where they don't want to hear you at all. Then we're not to believe every word. The Bible says, let God be truth. He said the simple man believes every word.
Right.
See, and you see, what followed that was there's a way that seemeth right. But if it's not God's way, it's not right.
Amen.
There's a way that seemeth right. And believe not. And a good word, rightly spoken, in due season. Amen? You know, sometimes all you can say is, I'm sorry. I have sinned. Or please forgive me. Sometimes those are the only words that need to be said when we just start putting the other stuff out there. I have sinned. Please forgive me. Right? The words are like wounds. That's tough, isn't it? This lesson is tough. It was for me studying it. As I look down through there and see what, hey, right here at the beginning, he told me why he was doing this, why he was saying those things to me. To know wisdom and instruction. That's our instruction.
Yes, sir.
To perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom. Justice. Judgment and equity. To know what's equal. That's what equity is. What's equal? It's equal to it. Now I want us to look at 13. We're going to shift over here and we're going to look at word and words under God. Okay? This was man's words. Man's words, as we'll see in this next category, should be God's words. Okay? 13:13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. So you have those who despise God's word. And look at 35:6. Now we're looking at the word not with an S on it now, but, and every one of us is familiar with this verse. If you're not, then you ought to be. 35:5-6. Every word of God is pure. You see that? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. God's the one that's going to reprove you. Add thou not to his words. All right. Let's go back to 1:2. Proverbs 1, we're getting into the word with the S on it then, words. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. These are the words of understanding we're looking at right here. And look at 1:6. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. All right, look at 1:21. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words, saying. This is wisdom speaking. This is that good woman.
Amen.
And how she speaks. This is the way the bride is supposed to speak.
Amen.
Now watch, look in verse 19. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without. This is where wisdom cries from. She cries from without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. Five places here. She crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the opening of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. I love these verses here. This is repentance and conversion, and in the right order. These next verses right here. Turn you at my reproof. Repent. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Repentance comes before conversion, and conversion comes before understanding. You see that? A man's going to repent before he's converted. He's going to. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. That's what Proverbs was written for. To make known God's words unto us. The wisdom of Solomon. Solomon asked for wisdom, didn't he? For what he wanted, God was very pleased with what he asked for. He got what he didn't ask for. You know, he got blessings just untold because he asked for wisdom that he might use judgment and equity and to know the paths of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Now, in 2:1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words, you see, we have to receive God's words. Just to know them is not enough. We have to receive God's words. We have to hide them in our heart. Why? That we might not sin. Okay. Look at 4:4. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. We're to get them. We're to hide them. We're to seek them. And we're to retain them. Retain God's words. Then look at 4:5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. We're not to decline from it. And we're to incline our ear to it. And we're to, and look at 5:7. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. We're to incline our ear to it. We're to receive them. And we're not to depart from it. Look at 6:2. My son, if thou be a surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. That one belongs over on the other side. It got over on God's side. But that's just showing we can be taken by the words of our mouth, snared by it. Being greedy of gains. We'll look at those a little later on in studying this book. Then 7:1. My son, keep my words and lay out my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. What's the apple of a man's eye? What he desires the most. Right?
Yes, sir.
What a man desires. That apple of his eye. Look, Psalms 1. That's a favorite passage of mine. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You want to be successful? There's the remedy. That's it. Not to desire the riches of man. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. You see his delight. He said there in Proverbs now, he said if you'll seek it, if you'll cry for it, if you'll search for it as a hid treasure, and like I've said two or three times already in this place, I'd tear my backyard all to pieces if I know there's a box of gold back there, a treasure back there, wouldn't you? But a man who loves God's word and digs for it, he'll get it. Because he says after he gives us those ways of instruction of how to get it, he said, then we'd have understanding. But It's not easy to get. It's going to be sought after in those ways. Look at 8:8, Proverbs 8:8. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. Now there's your Congress. You were talking about a while ago. Froward means crooked, twisted, deceitful. He said the words of the Lord, we read that a while ago, are pure words. In Psalms it said they're pure words as silver tried in the furnace of earth. Purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And here he's saying in verse 8, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. You know, that's why a simple man who loves God and loves the King James Bible, you can't hardly correct him, can you? Because he don't believe everything. And he knows that there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. There's nothing froward about this Bible. People say, oh, it twists everything. Everything's so twisted. No, he said there's nothing froward about it. Watch, he said, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. Nothing. They are all plain. See, we don't have a problem understanding the Bible. We have a problem believing it. You can read Revelation and understand every bit of what it said, if you can read. But see, we have a problem believing it. We try to fit something else in what it said. Instead of looking at what God said, when he said it, as he said it. Okay? They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver. and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that they may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. I think the definition of froward is NBC, CBS, and NBC. That's about as froward as you can get. Just enough truth to put it on the stage they want. Amen? That's froward. That's a good definition. You can write that down. Okay. We get one more and we'll get out of here. 22:12 and 22:17. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthroweth the words of the transgressor. He's got the final say in 22:17. Let's see. Yeah, 22:17. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. Okay. You see there is the answer to all that on the left-hand side of this, the words of man. Look at that. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. A good fitter.
Yes,
sir. What they call a good pipe fitter, a good millwright, he's a good fitter. God will fit his words in our mouth. Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. And God, thank you for your word. And God, how it chastises us, God. It shows us where we're wrong, shows us where we sin. And pray, God, that you'll help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.